Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Today I want to address an issue I call the dilemma of volume. And I have a sneaky suspicion that this is an issue that is plaguing everyone who's involved with digital photography. Maybe not so much the analog folks, because they can't go out like digital photographers can and make thousands of images in a weekend. But since it appears that most of us are using digital technologies these days, it's a problem that crops up, the dilemma of volume. I remember a time when the creation of a single outstanding image was enough. I'd go out with 48 sheets of film in my view camera on a long weekend, and I'd feel terrific if I came back with one, maybe two, on a really extraordinary weekend, three images that I might actually want to finish and print and matte, possibly even frame. And as far as that goes, I only had 48 sheets of film, so even that was a fairly low percentage, but there were many times I came back from the end of a weekend without having exposed all 48 sheets. We might only come back with one keeper of an image, but in fact, that was kind of the goal, was to come back with a keeper image. And just because we have the capacity these days to shoot so many captures and process them so easily in the digital workflow doesn't necessarily mean that our objectives have changed. One great image still makes a trip or a weekend worthwhile. That said, everybody I know who's doing digital work seems to be having an issue that has cropped up in my life in the last 15, 20 years, and that is more and more and more images. My Lightroom catalog now has a couple hundred thousand images, and clearly they're not all winners, but a huge number of them I'm pretty happy with. I'd go so far as to say that amassing of images in my Lightroom catalog is really starting to put some pressure on me, in the sense that I know buried in my Lightroom catalog are lots and lots of images that I really would like to do something with, that I should do something with, that are good enough to deserve having a little attention and maybe being turned into a print or at least used in a project. That pressure that is derived from the volume of work we're doing is a very interesting thing that I'm sure did not occur to previous generations of photographers. And I say that because that's where I started, was with the previous generations of photographers. I know what it's like to come back from a trip with one good image and feeling satisfied at that. The idea of coming back with 500 images that are perfectly sharp, perfectly exposed, and hopefully compositionally and from a subject point of view, interesting, that kind of experience wouldn't even occur in the dreams of previous generations. So this week in Colorado has been an admittedly spectacular week of fall colors. Matter of fact, I'm recording this podcast at about the 10,000-foot level at some place called Cold Bank Pass on the road up to Silverton from Durango. Anyway, I've been photographing the fall colors this week. I've added over 700 images of beautiful yellows and orange and red and gold-colored leaves to my asset base. Fantastic clouds, beautiful mountains, scenery that is just take your breath away. 700 images. And this doesn't even count the 900 or so images from previous trips to the Steens Mountains and to the Warner Mountains down in southeast Oregon, and all the other locations that I've photographed that have beautiful fall leaves. What do we do with the volume of wonderful photographs we're now able to make? I don't ask this as a rhetorical question. I ask it as a pragmatic question. Do we build a bigger house so we have more wall space to put up our images? Well, that's not very practical. Do we raise our aesthetic standards so that we're picking a finer and finer edit out of all of our images? Well, I suppose that's not a bad idea, but I'm not sure I could say with certainty that the digital age and the volume of images we're making in the digital age has necessarily made us better photographers than the generations who came before us. So the idea of being more discriminating and deleting the excess, I don't think that's much of an answer, because so many of the images that we might be deleting and ignoring are actually terrific images. As I've been thinking about that this week, and actually it's an issue that's plagued me for some time, I have found it useful to remember that these are assets, not finished images. All of those images in our Lightroom catalog are potential things we could do something with. And what really counts is what we choose to do with them, project-wise or exhibition-wise. They're like tools in the toolbox. We don't fret over the tools that are in the toolbox that we haven't used. Its day will come. Every tool has a time when it's the perfect tool for the job at hand. Maybe that could be said about photographs. And then, for some reason, I started comparing photography to other forms of art making. Take poetry, for example. Poets don't fret that they have too many words to choose from. They just spend their time searching for the right word, looking for the subtleties, working on a poem until every word is the exact perfect word in the exact perfect location. Well, doesn't that apply to us as photographers, too? Searching through our assets for the perfect image for a project or for an exhibition or for a display that is perfect because of the subtleties. That is to say, it's not a problem that we have too many pictures or too many assets. The problem might be that finding the exact right image is an organizational challenge. And maybe one of the ways we can more successfully deal with this incredible volume of images we're capturing is to pay more attention to organizing those assets so that we can find them when we're looking for them, when we're working a project. Which brings me to a bit of a personal experience I'll share, and that is, I'm spending more and more time with my Lightroom catalog now, like I say, keywording, looking for images, establishing collections, adding new images and trying to fully understand them, processing images with the new capabilities that have allowed me to rescue some that were close but not quite there. So I'm spending a lot of time with my images. And that process alone has turned out to be an incredibly interesting thing. Just looking through my Lightroom catalog suddenly gives me ideas for projects, or different ways to think about grouping my assets, or finding assets, that is to say, images that I don't remember photographing at all. Just working the Lightroom catalog can be an incredibly creative act that makes the volume of images we have even more valuable. And this says nothing about, with the passage of time, we might see different groups as we mature, or different values, or different possible ways of combining images into projects that we never thought of before. When I think of doing photography, I think of out there in the world with my camera. And that is a form of doing photography. But more and more I've come to realize the parallel between scouring the world for something to capture and scouring my Lightroom catalog for something to use. They are very similar activities. And even though I may not have the time or the opportunity to go out with my camera and photograph, I can experience the same sort of thing by just looking through my Lightroom catalog. It's the same kind of search, the same kind of pursuit of the creative inspiration. More and more, as I do this kind of work with my Lightroom catalog, I realize the value of frequently reviewing my unused images. Because every time I flip through images in my catalog, I see something new, something different. Some idea occurs to me. And that brings me back to the idea of the Lightroom catalog being an organization of assets. Searching through a large number of images can be daunting, but there is a little exercise that I learned years ago from David Bales. I may have talked about this before in a podcast, I don't remember, but even if I have, it's worth repeating. David Bales suggested that one way to find the projects that we have in all the images that we've amassed is to engage a relatively simple little exercise. When I first heard him talk about this, it was before digital photography, so he talked about, what do you do with a pile of prints? And he said, one way is to just look through them one at a time. But that rarely leads to anything. Instead, he suggested, find a criteria to divide your pile of prints into two pile of prints. Maybe on the left side, you put all the images that are vertical compositions, and on the right side, you put all the ones that are horizontal compositions. If nothing happens, don't worry about it. Put them all back together in a single pile and come up with a new criteria to divide that pile. All the ones that are better as black and white, all the ones that are better as color. If nothing happens, put them back into a giant pile, come up with another criteria to sort them. All the ones that have shallow depth of field to the left, all the ones that have a very deep depth of field to the right. Divide your pile. See if anything happens. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. Put the pile back together and think of another criteria. All the ones that have linear elements in the composition, all the ones that have circular or S-shaped elements in the composition. Divide the pile. See what happens. He said, and I found it to be absolutely true, that if you do this long enough, eventually you will stumble on a way to divide the pile that will make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, and you'll go, oh my God, there it is. There's a project right there. I didn't even know it existed. Bales described this as searching for a needle in a haystack made of needles. But there it is. You'll find it, eventually. So the challenge is not searching for the project. The challenge is searching for the way to divide your pile until the project reveals itself. And now that you've found the project, you can put all those images back in the pile and come up with another criteria to separate your pile and maybe find another project. It's a way to work the massive pile of assets that we've collected in our Lightroom catalogs. It's a marvelous exercise. Ever since I heard this from David Bales in a workshop that I took in the late 80s, I've used it, not only with digital images, but going all the way back to my piles of gelatin silver prints. It works. Try it. Here's another idea that can help with the dilemma of volume, so many pictures that we have. Instead of taking a really terrific image and matting it and framing it and putting it on the wall and living with it for the next year, or two, or five, or ten, develop a method that allows you to change your images quickly and easily. I've talked about poster hangers, which has turned out to be a great way to easily and quickly change an entire wall full of images. Bruce Barnbaum has another technique that I thought was just brilliant. He cut oversized mats that allow him to change the print without having to cut mats for every single image. They're sort of matte templates, if you will. And it's so easy for him to change the display of images in his library / gallery that he can do it in just a matter of minutes and then live with a new group of images for a while, which allows him to think about them and see how they go together and work on sequencing, to work on editing, and having reusable standard size mats can help us deal with the dilemma of volume by giving us an easier way to look at our work. The key to all of this, seems to me, is to develop ways for you to refine your thinking about the assets that you're gathering. As I've mentioned, when I'm out in the field like I am this week, I'm not necessarily thinking about projects and sequencing and which images are going to be in and what do I need to photograph. I'm just gathering assets. But the next step is to think about what I want to do with those assets. That is to say, how do I want to use those assets? Which brings me to a very simple observation. And that is that maybe we don't have too many assets, too many captures, too many images in our Lightroom catalog. No, maybe what we have is too few ideas. And that's why the volume of work in our Lightroom catalog seems so overwhelming. Because at this point, we still have the opportunity to spend more time developing projects, using more of those assets. And the more of the assets we use, the less overwhelming the volume will appear to be. So not too many assets, but too few ideas. Too few ideas that lead to projects that we can put together in various kinds of media, be it folios, chapbooks, gallery exhibitions, presentations on our wall, traditional clamshell portfolio boxes. The media becomes a secondary concern. It's the idea and the project and the search for images and the editing and the sequencing. That's where so much of the creativity of our generation seems to lie, primarily because we are capturing so many gorgeous images relatively easily compared to our ancestors, to the point where we have that giant collection of images in our Lightroom catalog. And now the challenge is figuring out what to do with them. Somehow, to me, it seems like one image, matted and framed and hung on the wall, although it's a great way to celebrate an image, and I do it and I know we all do it, it seems like a paradigm that fits yesterday's technology more than it does today's volumetric technology that allows us so much more creativity with so many different media we can use to express ourselves. Maybe the dilemma of volume is not so much a dilemma as it is an evolution about what fine art photography has become directly as a result of how we capture images, how we review images, how we store images, how we print and organize images. Maybe the dilemma is really the opportunity of volume, but that opportunity is best capitalized when we change the way we think about all those images that we're capturing and all of that wonderful content we now have the ability to share so easily.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.